I want you to look tonight about this subject of grace. We're going to look, if you will, at Acts chapter 15, verse number 11. We'll start there. And I did not get to Stephanie in time for a handout. I apologize about that. I'm going to give you about 6 points. If you've got a piece of paper, you can write these notes on. The last couple weeks, I've been trying to do some very practical helps that would be a benefit to you in your Christian life. A few weeks ago, it was about faith. About the need for faith, how we're supposed to live in faith, one of these days die in faith. And then last week about Bible study, because there's a great need in your life and in my life, and that is to get in the book and let the book get in you. We somehow want this wonderful, deep faith of the Christian life, but there's one way that comes, and that comes by getting into the Word of God. And I'm afraid I see people who are saying, I'm just not a great Bible student. We don't have to be a great Bible student. All we got to do is just start reading the Bible. Amen. You get in there enough, it'll get in you. You may not be as systematic about it as maybe somebody who has taken a course somewhere at a Bible Institute, but that's really not the issue. The issue is just starting, getting in there. And the detriment to us learning the Bible is that we don't get in the Bible. So that was last week. But I want to look at grace this evening and realize this. It's the source of these different items in our life. So we're at Acts chapter 15. Let me find my place now. And the Bible says here as we begin, Acts chapter 15, verse number 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. And so I just want to get right into it this evening, and I'm just going to go subject to subject to subject, so we'll just be going throughout the Scriptures, trust me, a blessing. But this is my first point about salvation. The Bible also says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So we know that grace, the first thing I want to look at is this salvation is the source of that. Salvation is grace. So if you want to make a note, the word grace means this, undeserved favor, unmerited. You didn't do anything. They gave you grace. You didn't deserve it. Sometimes people say when you get mad at somebody, you'll get mad at the folks that are living a certain wicked way in this world. Say, I tell you, I wish justice would be done. Whoa, 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 whoa. If we start screaming for justice too loud, don't forget where that puts us all. I'm thankful for grace and I'm thankful for mercy. I understand we can't live in a lawless society. We have to have those laws. But before we start pinning people's hides to the wall, saying, well, they need to get what they deserve. If I got what I deserve, I wouldn't be your pastor here. I'd already be in hell. So we understand that grace is undeserved favor, unmerited. You didn't do anything to get it. It's just grace. So we see here's the source of our salvation is this grace in Acts chapter 15, verse number 11. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, it's not only that, but I believe that God's got a perfect will for everybody in this room. He's got something that you're supposed to do. I believe with all of my heart I'm supposed to be standing here as your pastor. I don't know that I'll always do this. God may have me retire one of these days and go help some little church somewhere when I'm old and I can't. You say, oh, you're already old. Well, I don't know. I'm 51. I did have this happen to me. I went to a preacher's meeting this week. It's the first time it ever happened, and it just slapped me right there in the forehead. The preacher, me and Brother Abbott, we were sitting together, and the preacher up there said, well, all the preachers that are under 50, raise your hand. And I almost shot my hand up. I said, wait a minute. See, all these years I've been the younger guy. I've been the one that's coming up. I've been the one that's the younger preacher, and then he went and made that cutoff 50. Oh, I wish he'd said 55. If I go back, I said, say who's ever under 55, and I would have shot my hand up, but I didn't, because I didn't want to lie. If Brother Abbott hadn't been there, I might have shot it up. I thought, well, nobody else will know me. I know I'm not telling the truth. But I understand that we are getting there, so I know I'm supposed to be here. I may retire one of these days and then just go help a little church somewhere that doesn't need much out of somebody. I don't know, but I believe it's God's will, and I'm thankful that you feel the same way, that you voted me in. God's will. But I believe God's got a will for all of us. I don't think it's just the preachers. Well, preacher, he's supposed to be over there. That evangelist's supposed to be there. That pastor's supposed to be in that church. And the rest of you just go do whatever you want. It's not that way. God leads and guides us. Look at Galatians, if you would. You're in Acts. It's not too far. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the books that end in uns are all together. So Galatians chapter 1, verse number 15. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking to these people here, but the inference is that it's true to them as well, chapter 1, verse 15 of the book of Galatians. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, meaning that God always had a plan for him, even though he wasn't always submitting to the plan, and called me by his grace. Now we can deduct that God knows where you're going to be. He knows what you're going to do. And if you ought to yield yourself to the will of God, that you can see that that call of God or that will of God for your life is by grace. That's what the scripture says. And called me by his grace. I talked to a person the other day, and they were a business person. I said, well, I'm called to be doing this. I said, praise the Lord. We ought to all find the will of God. Say, Pastor, I'm not so sure how I'm supposed to do that. It's not as hard as we think. We get ourselves yielded to the Lord. We get all our sin confessed, rather, and then get ourselves yielded to the Lord. Say, Lord, lead me and guide me, and God will guide you and show you. You may not see lights that are flashing down out of heaven. If you do, you'd think it was somebody tricking you by some special effects anyways. But you just say, Lord, I'm following your will. So we see the call of God, Galatians chapter 1. Maybe you're called to business. Maybe you're called to teaching. Maybe you're called to all these other things. But that calling is grace. It's undeserved. None of us get to serve in the way that we do because we finally found ourselves worthy of it. If you've got a family in here, you weren't worthy of that. God blessed you in that. You've got children. You've got whatever it is. Then it's the grace of God that gives that. Not only that, we're going to go back and forth a good bit, but look at Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, verse number 27. We see not only this call of God that's on your life, should be on our life. We ought to all be in his will. But we see also that faith that we have. We talked about it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. But we see that the faith that God gives us is a work of his grace in our lives. Acts 18, verse number 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much with which he believed through grace. So I said the definition of grace is unmerited favor. The Bible says we are saved by faith, by grace through faith. And that faith is not even of you. You didn't just whip that up on yourselves. People talk about free will and predestination and all this. You understand that you do choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But without the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, you won't come to that spot. And so the grace of God is spread abroad to all man. And so that work of God is done in their heart. And then we respond by a yes or respond by a no. We reject or accept. But that's all a work of grace. So that faith that God gives us to receive him is, of course, a work of grace as well. So we see that not only the salvation, but then the call of God, our justification is also that. You'll find that in Romans chapter number 3. You're in Acts. Just go over to the right. One book. Now we know that the word justification means that you are declared or made righteous. Well, if you'd look in Romans chapter 3, verse number 24, we'll see that that justification, somebody said it's like this, you could say it justified, the definition could be made just as if I'd never sinned, meaning that you are deemed righteous. Verse number 24, being justified, again, being declared or made righteous, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I preach on it from time to time, but for those of us who get thinking that we're pretty nice or we're pretty good or we've come to a pretty good spot just because of what we've done in our lives, my friends, you are not impressive and neither am I in ourselves. The only reason that we are on our way to heaven, if in fact you are, is because of the work of Christ that's been done in your life, and that is because you have been justified. You have been declared righteous, and we'll say amen to that, yes, and we'll yes, we should, but that justification is all a work of grace. There are religions all around this world that people are trying to work. And even people in some pretty good churches, when you actually pin them down, They believe that justification is still reached by some amount of work that they do. You say, how would you know that? Well, the way you know that is when you talk to them and you ask them if they're going to heaven. Well, I sure hope so. I'm working on it. And I don't think that they mean that I'm trying to work my way to heaven, but somehow, maybe through erroneous teaching, they have gotten the idea that heaven is gained by Jesus Christ plus a good life that they live. That somehow Christ made the down payment and I've been making payments on this justification since then. And the only problem with that, of course, the scripture says that salvation is completely of Him by His grace, that unmerited favor, and so that our labor now is not to continue or to maintain our justification. Our labor now, as we get to serve and help and be good to people and do all these things, is because of that justification that's already happened. So please don't ever misunderstand that. It's not because we're trying to continue it or maintain it. It is only because we've already gotten it. So all of these are by grace, salvation, but then also the call of God, our justification. And then I want you to look at another one, if you will. You're in Romans. Turn over to the right to the book of Ephesians. Again, close to Galatians, the next book over. Ephesians chapter 1. We see that these are all one simultaneous act as far as salvation and justification and all this, but we see here that God brings it forward, that in verse number 7 of Ephesians 1, that just not only justification, but forgiveness is a work of grace. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You say, Pastor, Brother John, I know all these things, and I know you do, but I want us to get it down that it's a work of grace, every single bit of it, because if not, we get too big for our britches. We start thinking we're somebody. Friend, you and I are nothing. Amen. It's only a work of grace done in our lives that deem us or that get us fit for heaven. Let me give you the last one, and then we're going to share a couple things before we close and go home. The last one is in 2 Thessalonians. It's the last book that ends in uns there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. We see that not only these other items that we've mentioned are a work of grace, but also the consolation. If you're taking that note, the consolation. We had the salvation, the call of God, faith, justification, forgiveness, and now consolation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. And so we put this one at the end because salvation and that justification, all of those things are very wonderful. But what God does now in our grace that He gives us, He also gives us that consolation. We know what consolation is. A consolation prize is a person that didn't get in the first place. But consolation is when you come to somebody and you're helping them through their difficult times and you're consoling them. Well, the scripture says in your life and in my life, the things that are happening that I don't enjoy and that I don't like to partake of, that God gives us that everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Now, if I take you all the way back to the beginning, what we said about grace, it is that by definition, unmerited favor. So my consolation, my strength, my ability to know that things are going to be okay, I don't deserve that. Now, all of us have been engaged in this. We have all tried to console somebody. We've given them consolation. You can do it. You're okay. You can go forward. And you understand that when we do that, that's a work of grace that we are trying to dish out. So grace, as we started with faith, and then we look at Bible study, this practical aspect of grace that's here. So grace is undeserved favor, but I want to answer one question in case you're asking. Back in 1 Corinthians, let me show you this one other way that grace is used. There's multiple verses that it is, but in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, lest after we have this Bible study and we look at what grace does in our lives, we start thinking about, well, what about when grace, and when it's used in a different way? Let me see here if I found the right one. Grace, no, that's not the right one. My grace, where the scripture says, my grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians. Let me preach up here. Mind your own business back there, Brother David. Say, don't call him down. He's the one that got it right. I'm the bozo up here that got it wrong. See, it's good to have people know their Bible back there. Amen. 2 Corinthians. And he said unto him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Of course, you know that this is talking, you would know that this is talking when Paul's got that thorn in the flesh and he wants it to be taken away. Of course, but God says, Jesus says, in my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient for thee. So I told you that grace is that undeserved favor. So how do we transition, in case you're wondering or will wonder later, how do we transition from that grace is that work in salvation, that grace is that call of God, that faith, that justification. But now it's saying that grace is going to be sufficient for you. It's going to be something that's active. It's not just something you possess, that unmerited favor. Well, it seems that that original definition is true, yes, but it also brings about the idea of that inclining or putting into action that definition. So meaning that that practical help to people around you, so that when you say, I'm going to show God's grace to somebody. Well, we can't show them God's grace in salvation because we can't save anybody. But I'm going to give grace to somebody in this situation. I'm going to give grace. Well, we can't give them unmerited favor because we can't dish that out on our own because we're not worthy. But we can not only see that definition, that undeserved favor, we understand God's given us grace, but now he tells us to go and be giving more grace. Let me read you this one extra verse here in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. Let your speech always be always with grace. So that doesn't really fit in that unmerited favor. Don't be giving that out to people. But what that brings about the idea of is this. That act of inclining or engaging that unmerited favor that you've gotten that I've got, that I'm supposed to now put some work boots on it and get it out and get it working in my life. Meaning that I give grace because of one reason, because of the unmerited favor, the grace that I've already received in my life. So you understand how this Christian life and this grace that you've received, God's never wanted you to be a reservoir. He's never wanted you to be one that just takes it all in. God wants you to get all this grace through faith. He wants you to get that faith and forgive, or that grace in forgiveness of sins and all that. Through grace we're saved and all of those things. But then he wants you to get that, and now he wants you to live your life seasoned with that grace, so that now you put work clothes on it and get going. Amen. Because you and I are never supposed to be the end destination of the grace that God did in us. And so as Scripture tells us to, my grace is sufficient for thee, that means you're going to face a lot of things, but the grace that God's already bestowed in you is going to be enough. We like to have enough. We like to have an ample supply. My grace is sufficient for thee. And then, as he says, let that speech, that word, but also that lifestyle, let it always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you know, or that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So grace, if it's gotten you, then you're supposed to be used of God to let it get other people. So I'm praying that we would be people who live our lives in grace. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for the good time we've gotten to have in your word. I pray that, Lord, it's a little different. We have our notes, but I trust that we've gotten in our hearts, and maybe we can look back at some of these references later. Lord, I pray that we would live our lives with grace. We've got that unmerited favor. Lord, I'm saved. I don't deserve it. Lord, I'm pastor in this church. I don't deserve it. I've got a wonderful family and a beautiful wife and a great three children. I don't deserve them, Lord, this little grandbaby. I don't deserve it. That's grace, unmerited favor. But Lord, not only is that grace true in my life up to now, but I'm supposed to be, as I go out tomorrow and I deal with public and I deal with people that don't always show kindness back and forth and don't always respond, Lord, I'm supposed to deal with them in grace. Help me to do it. Help me to take the grace that you've worked in my life and let it now show out in the lives of the people that you let me be around tomorrow. I ask you these things in the name of Jesus. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand together. Our lady's going to play something through. And if God's speaking to your heart this evening, I invite you to come. I might ask you if you're living your life in grace, living that life with not that unmerited favor. You can't give that salvation. Of course, God's already done that. You can't do that. He's got to take care of that. But you can let that unmerited favor that's been dished out to you now spill out and go forward to the people who are in your path. Because God says His grace is sufficient for thee. He says that we are supposed to go, let our speech be always with grace. If you're here tonight and God's speaking to your heart, I encourage you to do business with Him there where you stand, or come down here if you want to pray. That's fine as well. One last invitation. If you're here not sure that you're saved, we talked about this grace, unmerited favor, that salvation. You nor anybody else, me, none of us deserve salvation. But the grace of God has offered it to every man, every woman, every child. Grace is offered to you. If you're here not sure you're saved, but you'd like to be, would you step out and come? Thank you so much. You may look this way. If you're able to stay for a few minutes, I'm going to ask Brother Danny to come. We're going to call a business meeting to order. You can be seated if you need to slip on. I understand that. We've got a couple of mission items.